Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Saturday, February the 20th, 2021. And I have the honor to have Professor Paul on and Jeff, who's a financial expert, besides being a good Christian guy. And we're just continuing the discussion that we've been doing all week long, because I think it's important. With that said, Paul, why don't you lead us with this?
Well, I just want to start off with some analysis. Back in 1950, under oath in front of Congress, Paul James Warburg gave testimony that by consent or conquest, we were going to have a new world order, and America was going to kowtow to the globalists. I think in 1950, a lot of people thought World War II was over, things were going to get better, hope spring eternal. There was all sorts of pent-up demand, and people had been saving because they'd been rationing, and you have this prosperity that was unknown anywhere in the world, and you had the building of the suburbs, you had the rebuilding of downtowns during the 50s. Downtowns kind of have this history of being from downtown to no town, and so a lot of building in the 50s, and then in the 80s again, and then some new building throughout the 2000s. But I bring up this false prosperity because that's all we have anymore. It's all a con. We have no economy left, and that's the direction I'd like to go today. And I'd like to touch on Texas because I did as much research as I can do from the old north. I can't believe they tried to brand Minnesota and Wisconsin. Now is the old north, as if it's not Midwest anymore and it's somehow different or somehow better. Anyway, what I want to say about the economy is COVID has always been a scam, a fraud. Now, that doesn't mean that people haven't gotten sick, and that doesn't mean that there haven't been people with three or four or two or six comorbidities that haven't been affected, but they would be affected by the flu just the same. And I'm still not sure I understand what flu is exactly, but what I'm trying to get at is that COVID has been the cover to bring down the economy through lockdowns and draconian measures such as mask wearing, social distancing, getting tested, and getting the jab. And what the globalists have done since 1950 is they've produced a bunch of documents. And these documents are really important because they outline their plan, truth in plain sight. Kind of like signs and symbols rule the world. They have put the truth that they hate us, that they declare war on humanity itself, and they are in their final push. And I'm just going to close with a New York Times article. I know that there is a narrative that's very common, and there may be some truth to it. It's the Israelis. But right now, you've got in Israel a mandate that's coming from Benjamin Milkowski. And Milkowski's government has said what they're going to do is make sure everyone takes the jab twice. And if you don't take the jab twice, you're going to get left behind. You won't have any rights. And not only will you not have any rights, you won't have any privileges. And what they've said in Israel, according to the New York Times, is if you don't take the jab twice, you're not going to get the COVID certification. You're not going to be allowed out in public. You're not going to be able to do anything. Now, Israel would seem to be the perfect place to do this because it's a relatively small country with a fairly intense population ratio, not quite the Netherlands or Amsterdam, where you have about 1,000 people per square foot, but Tel Aviv's not far from that. Anyway, the bigger point I'm making is this COVID deal has always been about shutting down the economy and concentrating power and wealth. And if they are going to do what they're doing in Israel as a beta test, Australia, New Zealand, England, United States is not far off. We have no economy. We have no rule of law. We have no constitution. And I need to hear what you guys think. Jeffrey, what do you got?
Well, yeah, that's a mouthful. Economy-wise, you know, I guess you'd have to say, what have we shipped off? Well, we've shipped off most of our industrial production capacity. And things that generate revenue, I mean, I think I even read years ago that the meters in Chicago were sold to a firm. That's big money in a way. I mean, you got to sell out assets to keep the game going. And that's where we're at. We're in the stage of, okay, what, when you survey our country and you say, okay, I'm another country and we owe them money, what do you liquidate? Well, why don't we start with some of the national parks? Let's start with some toll bridges. Let's start with our meter systems. You get to a point where you only scrap so much metal out of the thing. And that's the phase that we've been in for some time, is we've been operating on this, as you would say, a false economy. We're a giant 7-Eleven. We stop in and we have the convenience of picking stuff up. We pick up the crap we need, but, you know, nothing's really a sustenance. You look at the average meal from a fast food store, I want to say you're probably consuming about, what, 20% plastics? Petroleum-related products? So, you know, we're being gutted out, and we're being set up to be a transition. Part of the team. So we got to be part of the global, you know, the perspective that Obama's dream and Bush's dream of this one world government, this seamless entry into a new world order through the UN. We need to have the UN basically be established. And I know one time there was conversation about Obama being the president of the UN. So, you know, we're headed there. And you look around and you can kind of see that, you know, that isn't the same as it was a year or two ago. Well, that place is changing, that store's closed. I mean, take a drive down your street, town, look around and say, wow, look at all the available commercial property to rent. It's just everywhere. I mean, so when you force people out of that environment, hey, you're going to work from home now. Isn't that better anyway? You can run around in your bathroom if you want to all day and do your business from your house. Well, to a degree, yes. But that transitioning into the house from the marketplace is just one more move of isolation of a community, and yet they preach we're the hive, we're all interconnected, we're part of the internet and things, but yet look at the isolation. So I'm seeing a lot of double speak. I'm seeing one thing said about, hey, here's where we're at, but in reality, here's where we're at. And, oh, look at this over here that we're doing, but look over here. So that's where I'm at. I'm seeing things that aren't necessarily agreeing visually with my mind, because I have a recollection of past events. And that helps me purvey and say, well, no, wait a minute, that does not fit quite the same way as I recalled it. And then this gives me that aha moment of, okay, as you said, in plain sight, you know, the chairs on the Titanic are being shuffled around. But they're still the same chairs on the Titanic. They just are in a different position. So, anyway, that would just be an addendum to what you just mentioned to me as kind of an observation.
It is so far along, and we are so far gone. And I would like to, if you want to comment on the economy, I'd love to hear it. But I also want to morph into Texas and talking about what it actually needs when the second most populated state goes into total meltdown. What do you think about what we've said so far, Stu?
Well, I'm in pretty much agreement. Look, they got the economy. They got this whole thing just tied up in a knot for themselves. And nobody else is controlling. They're controlling the banking systems over in Europe, and they're controlling the banking system here. So we're screwed. I mean, we really are. Handful of men are doing this. 400 men control the U.S. economy. And they're the buffers. Buffers, as they call them, for those New World Order. Now, I do want to talk about Texas, because when they turn their water on, this week when it warms up, and there's going to be property damage, and nobody's going to believe. But go ahead, Paul.
I did as much research as I could on Texas this morning, and the thing that struck me is that the problems have just begun. And for me to say something like that almost makes me feel cavalier, but the real problems are going to manifest when the thaw happens and when people realize, hey, we don't have running water anymore, or water that we can get from the pumping station to our homes, because all our pipes are frozen and broken. And so you have the infrastructure is dismantled, so to speak. So you have this engineered storm, and then you, and some may call it disaster capitalism, but I think the biggest point is that I think people now are waking up and saying, hey, this didn't just happen. This wasn't just nature. This was absolutely planned, manufactured, executed, and I think maybe some people may wake up finally and say, you know what? They don't care about us. Nobody cares about us. This is all one huge scam. And now we've got to pull together. Now, there is something about disaster that can get people pulling together. But I suspect that what I've always known is going to be true in Texas. And what we know is, hey, you got to have water. People need water. And then after water, you better have food. And beyond food, then, of course, you're talking essential supplies that include protecting yourself and repeats for protecting yourself. But what happens to most people by day three, day four, day five, what gets them is sanitation. And I think we're going to have a huge sanitation crisis across Texas, too. And you just got so many forces and so many variables that are so difficult to manage. I don't know how Texas ever truly recovers, because it's really statewide from Dallas to Houston, from Central Texas to everywhere. And so I guess what I'm hearing is it's just an absolute third world country right now, and that's what they plan for the rest of us in the coming months. They have put their boot on our necks, and this is what they want. This was their plan. And I turn it back to you guys.
I want to add something real quick. I met with a couple that I friends of mine. They lived down south, and they had talked to some of their friends, and they said that you could actually take some of the snow, put it in the microwave, and it would emit sparks. And you could also light some of the snow on fire. So I don't know if it was catching something from the atmosphere coming down. And I do know that they talked about some of the fires in California due to the metal shavings are highly combustible. I don't know if that's maybe part of that whole scenario. But I guess I was not quite aware as to the depth of what you're describing, that when things appear to be a little bit more normal, they're not going to be any more normal as they come back out into their situation of normalcy. And so, yeah, that's kind of new to me that, you know, I thought, okay, after this is over, they'll kind of resume where they were. But the way you're describing it, Paul, there's a lot more to come. And were they made an example in a sense because they wanted to succeed? Or was this a weather warfare, maybe attack on them? Is this letting us see how we should be independent? Apparently, also some of the and a real problem with the solar and with the wind power due to the fact that the turbines are pretty things. And I have even heard that some thought this would be a good way to provide or prove that the greening effect is not necessarily that viable when your windmill trees up and your solar panels are covered in stuff. Suddenly that takes on a whole new, hey, how far along are we with removal of fossil fuels?
By the way, allow me to correct something. Fossil fuels, you cannot find a serious geologist who legitimately believes in fossil fuels. That's a Heinz Kissinger, 1971, phony oil crisis. That is all bogus. Oil, coal, none of those are fossil fuels. Now, you may find fossilized matter in those sources, but natural gas, oil, coal, they aren't fossil fuels. They have just taken language and distorted it, and I know maybe it's a minor detail right now, but here's the point. They want us to believe in their narrative that we have to eliminate all carbon. And that's why they want us to get rid of our wood stoves. That's why they want us to get rid of anything that can help us to be independent or sovereign. That's not part of their plan. Their plan is to kill 95% of the people. The Deagle Report's real clear on what their plans are for America. And I would include anybody that hasn't familiarized themselves to check the DEAGEL.com report. They're apparently some branch of either CIA intelligence, but they have a bunch of assumptions that seem to me to be phony, but their conclusions, I think, are absolutely spot on. These people, they lack conscience, they lack compassion, and they serve their dark lord. Anyway, back to you guys.
Now, if I can add to that, solar works, folks. Photovoltaic cells create energy from the sun. Windmills create energy from wind. Now, there's these small turbines that you can get that are about the 18 inches that you put on your roof to take the heat out. And they actually do. But they have a generator inside them to hook up to your windmill to assist the solar panels. I've installed three different systems, one in Las Vegas and two in Kansas City. One was a friend architect builder. It took three 120-watt panels and a 45-watt introverter, and it took 24, 26 batteries to run two air conditioners and to heat and cool a 3,500-square-foot house, and he never had a problem. Now, you could buy all the material online that you would need, and Walmart sells the batteries and the whole bit. To put if you're using 3,000 watts per month, say as an example, average house, you'd want to get a 3,000 watt inverter. Best Inverters, BEST, because I'm no longer in the business, sells them online. That's what you want. If you're using about 3,000 a month, average house, say 1,600 to 2,400 square foot. Now, it takes about three panels, 120 watt panels. They're not expensive these days. You could get the whole system basically for about $12,000. And hire an electrician, install it for you. He's going to charge you probably $4,000 or $5,000. If you went to a solar contractor, you're going to get ripped off and pay $30,000 or $40,000 because they're making that kind of money. Here's why. They got financing available, some of these guys, because they're getting it from the boys, the ones that control the banks. So they're getting special finance. Like you see all these people, I buy your houses cash. Give you a cash offer for your ugly house or whatever. Here's the point. There's tax credits, federal tax credits of a third you can write off over 5 years off your income tax for what you put into it. Some states give you state tax. Missouri was leading the last time I saw when I thought about going in that business until I got nearly crippled, should you say, with a back injury and neck and broken. They had just passed. There was a congressman here named Holzman. and he passed a very powerful solar bill. And the Congress and Senate here in the state of Missouri went along with it. And they signed it. It gives everybody in Missouri 100% tax credits. And as I recall, you can write them off in 1 year. You can write them off in 10 years. You can write them off in 15 years against your property tax, against your sales or your state income tax. Plus, you get the third federal credit. Now, what's interesting about this is Holtzman says, well, we got to figure out a way to get people financed on these because the banks don't want to finance it. So they made it to where the cities have to provide bond money for your house. So if you live in, say, Oak Grove, Missouri, where I live now, all to do is go to the city and apply, and they would and show them the contract of the future buyer and his credentials as far as his financial statement, and they can charge him anywhere from 5% down to zero down, depending on his credit worthiness. And they have to come up with the money within 60 to 90 days to provide that money to that homeowner through a bond sale. The cities and counties have to. That's in Missouri. Now, those kind of laws, people don't even know about, but they need to be done all across America, in my opinion. It would relieve the problem of your energy companies. Now, people say, oh, you can sell the energy back to them. You don't want to sell the energy back to them because you got to provide insurance on that selling the energy back to them. And basically, you're getting up $40,000, $50,000 with the system to sell some energy back to them. It's not worth it. But to do your house, it's worth it. Now, let's pass that. I've been told their intent, the New World Order, these alien satanic pigs that are on this planet, that are in human form, these 200,000 of them, they estimate, but remember what the Bible says, there's a war in heaven and they estimate about 1/3 fell of a million. So that puts it at about 333,000. These come from intelligence officers, not naming, but we could reference like Otis Johnson, who's dead. They, with HAARP, have figured out, I think it was around 2016 or 17, they figured out how to tap into the used HAARP and tap into volcanoes for their energy grid. And in the future, they're going to be providing energy to your house from this energy grid, they think. And they're going to do away with all these power plants and so forth. And this is our future down the road, they think. Now, they're going to be pulling it off HAARP, which manipulates the weather. And all they have to do is tap into a volcano. It sounds like it's nuts. Sounds nutty to me, but this is what their intent is. Now, what have they done as far as what we could see today that's in the Bible about in those days, you get into Revelations and so forth, about the stars. We only see, what, 1/3 of the stars. The moon doesn't shine quite as bright. Different things are happening. Does anybody remember about 10 years ago, I think it was 10, maybe 12, they shot a rocket at the moon. It was all over TV suddenly one morning, and they shot a rocket at the moon, at the end of the moon, the pole, and they sent another rocket with a satellite on it that was going to come in to collect minerals that this rocket was going to blow out of the end of the moon. Do you remember that, Paul?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What they did is they moved the moon 6 weeks before it appeared on TV. I called Otis up. I said, Otis, did you see on this morning about hitting the moon with a rocket? He said, they did that 6 weeks ago, Stu. I said, what? He said, yeah, they didn't want to tell anybody they did it because if they did something wrong, they didn't want to be blamed in case they blew up the moon or something. I said, what? What was the purpose? He says, to knock the moon out of orbit. He says, you're going to see the moon change its orbit. I said, no shit, what? He says, they're trying to bring about these end time prophecies. I said, okay, now wait a minute. You're telling me they moved the moon. He says, you watch it in the next year. I watched it in the next year. The moon comes up now. And it's bright for a day or two or 3 days total, maybe four. when it goes into full moon. And sometimes you'll see it rise over into the southeast, and sometimes you see it rise in the northeast, and sometimes you see it rise directly east. But the moon doesn't shine anymore. The moon follows the sun around. Now, you look out in the daytime when the moon isn't bright and full, you see the moon in the evening before it gets dark. There it is. Wow, they moved it out of orbit. It doesn't shine all the time. Look out at night. At times, it's totally black out there. You can't even see the moon because they moved it out of orbit. What was the reason for that? Why would they do that? Why are they tilting the Earth? Why is the Earth tilting? Why are we at a 45-degree angle right now? Why is it that if you take a magnet out there or a compass, and what used to be true south that I knew from visual and would see on a compass, it's now about 10 degrees to the southeast. That's true south now. Now, we see it in the summertime. We're seeing the sun come up in the northeast really deep in the past 5 years. Coming up northeast. And it sets way up into the northwest in the summertime and at night. Why is that? Because we're tilting. The Earth is tilting. What are they trying to do to the Earth? They're trying to destroy mankind. And they're changing everything. I just thought I'd throw that out there, Paul.
Wow. There is so much going on exopolitically, geopolitically. Let's check how far we are in terms of time. We've got about 15 minutes.
Yeah, we're at about 26 minutes right now.
Okay. Joffrey, your response, this is what Stu has just presented to us is massive because in the book of Obadiah, it talks about we're going to make our nest in the stars, and God has promised to take down those nests that we've created from Mars to what we're doing on the moon, or what the moon really is, and so forth. This is maybe not a topic for today, but what do you think about what Stu has just covered?
You know, also in Isaiah, I think 25, maybe 7, that God will rip down the sheet around the earth. Something into that kind of language. You know, what Stu was mentioning, I was thinking, okay, they want to create a script, publish the script, create this narrative, and then make the narrative come to fruition. Wow, okay, so if it looks like the earth is going to go through all these changes, we're going to have weather alterations, we're going to have streams of heat or floods or all these things. Well, to get that narrative to happen, you got to screw with things. And apparently they think they can't, and they are. So when Stephen said, you know, try to displace the moon, you know, I don't know how they could do that other than with atomic energy to try and move it, but let's say they do move it.
They did shoot it with a nuclear... They did shoot it with a nuke, and
okay,
that was the reason they didn't
want,
because the old thinking was, real quick, the old thinking was if a nuke went off out of our atmosphere, it would melt down our atmosphere. But they found out it didn't, and they were willing to even test it, and they shot the moon to move it out of orbit. Now,
okay.
One more thing real quick, and I want you to finish, Jeff. Everybody go to BobLazar.com. BobLazar.com. I've never met him, but he's a personal friend of John Lear, one of the test pilots, former CIA pilot. I've had him on before. His dad built 150 flying saucers for us, for the government, in secret between 52 and 59. Art Bell used to put him on. That's what made Art Bell famous. He's dead now, but that's what made him famous was Bob Lazar and John Lear. Bob Lazar had pictures of a pyramid built on Mars, folks. A pyramid that is built on Mars. We got flying saucers. We don't need the rover to go up to Mars. We go up to Mars in our own flying saucers. Go ahead, Jeff.
All right. So, yeah, Stu.
things that, you know, obviously technologies that are ahead of our learning curve. But, you know, if you displace the moon, the scripture talks about the moon, and not so sure doesn't mention the waves and the ocean and about the unity of creation. And the goal would be to disrupt that unity in creation, because that is anti, it's destructive and it's against God. And so the format that they're operating under is, how is this an affront against God? What can we do to hasten the end time, to where we get our people on the scene, the dragon, the beast, the Antichrist? What can we do to help usher that along? Well, that's a really quite a bold question. Can they usher it along? I don't know. But they certainly are trying. And so when you see these extremes, that just supports the narrative. You know, I think Kerry said the other day, well, we got 9 years left. 9 years, that's it. And you can go back to Al Gore saying, oh, there'll be fish in the streets of Texas. You'll be in Dallas or wherever, and there'll be fish in the streets. Well, none of this has happened, but it's not because they aren't trying. But I'm sure God thwarts their plans, but they're trying. But some of this stuff, they might be getting away with some things, because obviously, look what's going on, how they're trying to figure out the weather. And we know they have, and that's been a program, controlling the weather warfare by 2025, which is declassified, apparently. But anyway, so yeah, there is just strange events, and we are witnessing them just even at this last week.
You know, this whole weather warfare is inextricably tied to the energy grid, and
it's harp. It's harp, buddy. It's harp in that Alaskan harp they've got up there, and they're able to do it. Even Russia has harp. China has harp. They figured out the way to do it because they're copycatting America in a lot of ways. But folks, they moved the jet stream the very first time in 2006. Because it was in April, and Otis Johnson gave me the information, and I published it then on my website. And that's the reason I had the U.S. Meteorology Society on the front of my website, where people can see what their findings are. Because they're amateurs with telescopes, powerful ones. And they put out information way before the government ever releases anything. Here's an example, what we got coming at us that's top secret, that they don't want to tell you, that they've discovered with CERN, the collider. They're able to see in space-time, which we talked about the other day. They see stars coming at us. They've had two meteors come at us and nearly going to impact the Earth. They sent flying saucers out, our United States Air Force. Some of them are out there north of Las Vegas. They sent one of them out there, and they put a rocket on it. They call it a solar sail. It's a little mini rocket, and they set it off, and they get it out of orbit, and they put it in the orbit they want it to go between the moon and the Earth. That happened two times since 2006, now, or around 16, I think it was. Now, in 2006, when they moved the weather, but 2016, when they pulled the rocket thing, CERN, they see two planets we're going to be pelleted between now and 2025 with a lot of stuff. And they have seen Earth hit twice. Now, is that in the book of Revelations? Yeah. No, Wormwood hits us, but look carefully for the other star in there, the second one. Now, they've already seen that. They see a bigger planet coming at us, six times the size of Earth between 2022 and 2025, as Otis said, but he figured it'd be closer to 2025 in his estimation. He's probably correct. Might not be in that time frame, though. It's a big fireball, and it's going to hit Earth, direct impact. As he said, what does the Bible say? We're supposed to be burned up the second time? Maybe that's it. Is it man-made burn up? Could be. Is it God's judgment? Could be. I don't know what it is. But that's where I know we're going.
Go ahead, Paul. Well, where we're going is we're going to see the grid shut down. And I don't know when precisely the grid gets shut down, but do you remember Stutniks and a guy named John McAfee, and John McAfee just said, hey, it's in every computer, it's in every system, and once that thing gets loose totally, completely, people are going to think they got control, and they may not have the control that they think they have, but I am absolutely certain that we are going to see the grid shut down across America anytime in the next 60 days to the next 120 days, and we are all going to be like Texas now. The only good news about it is if it happens 60 days, 70 days, 90 days from now, in most parts of the country, you don't have the sub-zero weather. And
we won't be able to tell the difference.
We're in the third world here.
We won't be able to tell the difference in the seasons. Is that what it says? Won't be able to tell the difference in the seasons. They're going to be, we're going to be in the middle of summer, and we're going to have winter, and vice versa. Now, we never had... I grew up in Kansas City. Now, I was gone from here for about 18 years, not lived here. Came back because of my parents getting older and all that whole bit, and my mother being ill. Now, here's my point. I grew up, east was east, south was south, west was west. The sun come up in the east, sat in west. South was magnetic south, magnetic north, and the poles. Everything was normal. I come back, and the sun's coming up different angles. I'm noticing all the stuff. So I really kind of got into it, much as I could. And, of course, telling you the story about the moon, things they're doing. They are able with the technology they have. They create invisibility. They create space-time, send people in the future and into the past, try to change timelines. Then we got flying saucers. We got chunks of metal that turn into flying saucers. And I mean, I've known too many people. I was locked up with 1,500 Iran-Contra players. I was locked up with Super Spook Otis Johnson, who was busting the Louisiana governor, and Daddy Bush figured it out. And they were also busting John Gotti. A whole bunch of people like that were in there, trying to bust certain criminals, shutting down stuff. Why? They were locking up the Iran-Contra people to keep their mouths shut. I met generals, colonels, captains. God, did I get my ear full. And all these S&O people that were tied to Silverado. There were these borrowers and spoofers laundered money in there. And, of course, the U.S. attorney was covering it all up and then make it look like nothing. And they'd do plea agreements with these guys because they had to have them shut up. Now, Ollie North got a presidential pardon. Casper Weinberger got one from Daddy Bush Christmas Eve, 1994 or 1992, and so did others. That's the reason those punks, the FEMA-created punk, Ollie North, are still running around. He's a traitor to America, folks. I, as an ex-Marine, would hurt the fucker if I saw him in front of me. I would. I'd hurt him because he's a filthy, treasonous, satanic pig. As Al Martin said, Stu, he used to be kind of a good Christian guy, and then he became evil. That's the way they become. We have problems in this country that nobody can believe, and the technology. I've tried to explain some of this stuff that I'm aware of, like robotoids. Everybody that was involved in Ferguson, Missouri riots a few years back went to jail within 6 months. Because they sent the robotoids in that look human, act human, piss, crap, even screw now, ladies. So be careful of that robotoid. You might think it's human. But it's not. It's a robot. They were made by DuPont back in 89 and 90 for our government. The Chinese made them clear back in the early 80s when Daddy Bush sold the technology to China. They had them first. They look like army robots. They look like part of the Chinese army, human. But they stand about 6 foot 2 inches tall. I don't know many Chinamen that are that tall. But we made them. They went into Ferguson, Missouri, while the riots were happening, went in and acted as a rioter with a sign, hold up a sign over that guy's death down there, that black kid, holding up signs, and they'd run around and shake everybody's hand that was rioting. Once your hand was shook with that robot, it took your fingerprints. Ask yourself why you're in a friggin' jail cell today. Those that were rioting, some of them are out probably now, spent their time, but everybody got arrested. That's the kind of technology they have, folks. Now, part of the energy grid, I want to mention, because I didn't appreciate what they did. They blew my refrigerator apart last night, folks, because they installed smart meters a couple weeks ago. I said, no, we already installed it. You're going to have to call them. I forgot to call them and get it pulled. It fried your refrigerator. These animals can do anything they want. You look at the smart meters and the technology and the energy grids out in California. All those fires, that one was, they had all smart meters in them. What were they doing? They were hitting them with satellites to cause the fires. There's tons of proof and evidence of that. Tons of it has been published. Tons of videos have been put out. I think Dutch Sense was one of them that put out a lot on it. Someone did. I have to remember, but that's an example. What they are out doing now with this weather crap and freezing everybody out and doing this thing to the whole nation, they're trying to kill as many people as they can. It's like these fake lockdowns and all the other crap. This is chemtrails. This isn't some COVID virus. It's chemtrails. They're lighting everybody up. With 5G, it keeps coming to this electronic field that they have created. And you mentioned something a minute ago, Paul, about the technology. That was the Innslaw technology. That was Bill Hamilton and his Innslaw, which was the prosecutorial software for the U.S. government to track white-collar criminals. And they agreed to pay him $200 million for it. He was never paid a dime. He was cheated out of it. They had congressional hearings. This is the most outrageous thing the government had ever seen, these congressional investigators. Ripping off someone that they bought from. Daddy Bush took it and put the trap back door with Michael Conosciuto in it, sold it to the intelligence worlds around the world. The Israelis were involved with it because the big brother Israel. It's all intertwined. And they took that Innslaw. They made the promise software out of it, put trap back doors and everything. And then they turn around and they made the Intel chip out of it. And they got the Intel chip and everything. They can see you. They can hear you. They can manipulate you. They can mind screw you and make you do things that you normally wouldn't do. That's how powerful this is. And it's all integrated and hooked up with the United States government's telephone system, hooked up with their internet system, hooked up with Israel, a secret base in Jerusalem, at a university there, also out of their current headquarters, Tel Aviv, hooked up with Bluffdale, Utah, hooked up with Cheney Reservoir, Kansas, down by Wichita, which they just had a big earthquake, folks. Big earthquake down there for us, 4.8, yesterday I think it was. Down there by the reservoir. Now, they've got Bluffdale, Utah hooked up. They've got Langley, Virginia hooked up. They got a place in Florida hooked up. They got a place in Atlanta. And they got a place in St. Louis, Missouri. That are all part of this grid system that they can control you through your telephones, your computers, and your smart meters. And this is how they're going to kill people. They have a death ray out there on a satellite, and it's the Westar series of satellites controlled by Daddy Bush, E-Systems of Dallas. They call it Division Number 4 of the CIA, the hit teams, the drug dealers, that you can do anything, kill people. They're using sonar technology right now and hitting 10 million people worldwide to break down their immune system. They didn't hit me since 2006 that I'm aware of because Otis Johnson and one of his buddies saw my name in the system, the NSA system. They went in there and looked, and I'm on the list. They said there was about 3 million at that time that were being hit in the United States by this. Now, that same series of satellites that they used to steal elections with, change the voting machines from outer space, they don't have to have, they've got their whole dominion set up, and it was set up by the boys out of Denver. I got the document showing corporate services in Denver, and the address that went to my ex-in-law was original Dominion. I just haven't had time to post the story. But this is all intertwined. Everything you say, everything you do, if you have a TV on, plugged in, if you have a computer plugged in and off, and the TV can be off, and say you're making love to your wife in the bedroom and your TV's off, but you got a big flat screen. They're sitting there looking at your asses. They're sitting there watching everything you do constantly. And who are these freaks? They're these 333,000 fallen angel. 200,000 are registered with the government inhabiting humans. They've cloned 10 million people, folks. But here's something about the satellite I wanted to mention. They have the death ray on there now, a bendable laser. It was told to me, Stu, when they really get down and they're starting to whack people, they're going to hit you with that friggin' satellite. And I said, you think so? Oh, yeah. You'd be out there with 30 people. And nobody's looking at you. Next thing, you just disappeared. Where'd Stu go? Where'd Stu go? And I'm not even ash on the ground. It zaps you that quick, you just disappear. They're going to start using that on people, I've been told. And this comes from super spook types. Everything's in place. Now, they've made robots. You can't tell if they're human or not. There's a good infiltration. They've made the death ray. They've made all this technology to dispose of people, to watch you, to control you. They're spraying us with chemtrails of heavy metal that lights us up from the 5G and the 2G and the Wi-Fi and everything else. They're trying to kill the human race. And this cloning, they've made part fish and part human. Up in Oregon about 4 or 5 years ago, up there in that kind of like a gulf, that part of the ocean that comes in there near Portland, all they heard was screams of these animals, reported fish heads and human bodies. There's pictures of it out there, folks. That's all real. The manipulation of everything. The manipulation. To do what? To bring us down. To kill us. To get rid of us. They originally wanted to get rid of 2/3 of the population, reduce it down to 1/3, and they would be the slaves to the New World Order. To Satan and his goons running it. I'm just telling you what their agenda is and how far along we are. We are so far along, it takes God Almighty, Jesus Christ, to bring you through this. Because what we're all getting ready to go through is going to be one big hell house. And it's already started. Look at the number of people who have been displaced out of New York because of the COVID lockdown. Look at the number of people that left California. They're all over Arizona desert. Tons of them went to Texas. Bunch went to Florida. Bunch came to the Midwest. And now what are we getting? Power outages. Power grids down. Frozen this, frozen that, like we've never seen it. Ever before. The U.S. is, here in Kansas City, it's been pretty cold. And I know up where you're at, Paul, Minneapolis, has been about 20 degrees colder than I am. And in between, Jeff's up in Nebraska, and he's been colder than I am. Now, guys, where are we going with this? Where's planet Earth headed? That's my question.
I think we're heading into what you have suggested, actual hell on Earth. And it's not going to end well for them, and it's not going well for us. I know we're up against a time crunch here, but some of my favorite people, I really like them. They are followers of QAnon and so forth. And then, believe it or not, even though I think Project Camelot is nothing but a limited hangout, and the whole Oathkeeper movement was infiltrated from the start. You know, it's that classic best way to control the opposition is to create them. And yet, I share a lot in common with the Laura Eisenhower, Patty Greer, Carrie Cassidy. They believe it's about ascension. It's about changing frequency. And if we can get at a higher frequency, we can stave off these diabolical, insane, satanic plans. And so you know, in some ways, both groups, the QAnon followers and even that David Wilcox, Kerry Cassidy faction, those people, they share what we want to make happen, and that's we want to get rid of the parasites. And I don't know of any way to get rid of the parasites other than through through what Jesus came to do, and that's that he died on the cross. Well, he actually was born virginally, lived a sinless life, he fulfilled the law. He spoke clearly to us, not clearly to everyone because he had some of what he was saying through parables, but I want to make a bigger point, and that is we all need to get in front of God and down on our knees, and we need to hear from God now because some of us are actually going to come through this. And I just want to add something that I haven't talked about yet, but I do have a couple of friends and communicate daily with one and frequently with another, and they both believe they're part of the 144,000. And they describe what the pre-tribulation camp calls the rapture much differently. They say there is going to be a remnant. In Hebrew, the word for remnant is shariath. So I'll call it the shariath imperative. The shariath imperative is being part of the remnant. And being part of the remnant is being part of a legitimate spirit-filled life, where what you've done is you've gone in front of God and you have repented. Not only have you repented, you have been imbued with the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit within you is perfecting you. Now, I know that we're always going to be tempted by the flesh and the carnal, and that apparently is the challenge that God has put in front of us. I cannot explain the mind of God or the way of God, but I can know what he's revealed to us in the scriptures. We have a lot of people out there, and I think the best people to start with are the QAnon people, and maybe even the other people who are probably going to dismiss us, but through our actions, through our faith, and through our testimony, we need to create the biggest remnant possible, because in the next 20 days, next 60 days, next 90 days, next 6 months, it's all happening. We are at that point. And so I just want to encourage anyone that knows anyone that seems to hold similar desired outcomes that we pass this message on. And that's my closing comment, guys.
Remember, we're going to have food shortages. We're going to have all kinds of things because of this HAARP, because of the weather modification. We've already lost the crop for 1 year in all of Northern California, almost up to Napa Valley from Bakersfield up. It's a huge growing area. It is just, they haven't planted out there because of the amount of water they had a year ago. Then they have this big thing wash up from HAARP to hit everybody with this big snowstorm, ice, all the other, the first round we got here a couple weeks ago. Now, if you looked at the map and watch your weather map and your local weather map, watch what they're doing with the satellites. What if you saw it look like the ocean rose up and was just getting ready to dump huge amounts on California? It did. Because someone called me from California, a nurse friend. Bakersfield, Stu, my house is beginning to move. There was so much water going down the streets. Her faith took her to the top of a mountain where she prays. First time we had snow up here in a long time, she gets out and does it in her bare feet and prays. And I called her an hour later. I says, the storm slowed up. She says, stopped within 10 minutes. Her faith stopped that storm. She asked for someone to witness with her or to be in agreement with her. I did that. It stopped that storm. She couldn't believe it. But she did believe it because she had the belief. She's the one that did it. She had enough faith to go there and put her feet in the snow and pray for it to stop. You could do the same thing, is my point. Chris and Lane did it asked me to pray with them. They'd already prayed about it. And a hurricane came in there and took a right hook and came right off them in Port Arthur, Texas, and went over to Louisiana. Right off of them, because they had enough faith and belief. They'd already prayed together. Two or more come together. Oh boy, does it cause damage to the enemy, Satan and his minions. Here's the problem we have, folks. We have about 400 men controlling the economy. We have 12 disciples of Satan, I've mentioned many, many shows, that are controlling America, controlling these 400 men. They're controlling your pension funds. That's just here in our country. Then they control the European Union. They basically control the economy over there through, I forgot what it is. We got the Federal Reserve. What do they got over there, Jeff? The EU system, I think. What do they call it?
The European Central Bank, yeah.
Yeah. Now, they're in control of that. Then they got the IMF that plays the game with them. Okay? All these people and the bankers, everybody, the food suppliers, the energy companies, they got it all in America. They've got better than 95%. They're wrapping up 100. They probably got it wrapped. They're only letting 5% of the economy be in the hands of the people. That's all. Just to keep people out there to be stupid and not know you're going to be crunched. But look at what they've done to all the small businesses. That was that 5% out there. Oh, we do a COVID lockdown. And what happens? It puts the mom and pop restaurants and bars out of business. Oh, but they can keep the McDonald's open because it's part of their system. They can keep the Wendy's open. It's part of their system. They can keep this one and that one open because it's part of their system. And there's no problem those people feeding you. But these little mom-pop operations, oh, no, we can't let you go inside the building. They're literally shutting down and have shut down that part of the economy. Just ruined it. And what about the property owners that had those run-down buildings, that had those little restaurants and so forth? They don't have that revenue coming in anymore. They're selling their stuff off. If you look at who's buying the buildings, it's part of their agenda 2021, now 2030. Get everybody into the inner cities. They're tearing down buildings all over Kansas City and putting up these little mini high-rises. And they're putting up all kinds of stuff to condense them into the Kansas City between downtown Kansas City and the Country Club Plaza. Paul, you wouldn't recognize down around Truman Medical Center and all that area of all this new stuff that has been built. It's part of their agenda, folks. They're going to have rail cars. They've got them going down Main Street now, almost to the plaza or down to Westport. They're planning to expand it again. You won't be traveling. They want you. Has anybody ever looked at what they do in Japan? How they've got people stacked in high-rises? And they got a little cubby hole to sleep in, and they all share the same bathroom, and they all share the same shower, and they're like four in the little cubby holes, and they crawl up in their little cubby hole. That's what their intent is for what is left on the planet, to serve them. That's what they're doing. Now, we're going to have food shortages. There isn't going to be the jobs. If you get a job, you're working for them or one of their corporations. We're in a screwed situation. All human race is. Now, there'd be a couple ways. Being an ex-Marine, I got this attitude, the David and Goliath story. It's time to pick up the toys and go get rid of the satanic boys. That's my own opinion. God holds me back from doing that. Instead, he brings this to you through me that we need to start praying and through Paul and others. I'm nobody special, folks. I'm just a human being like you are. But I'm trying to do the best I can do and have for 38 and a half years since I came awake to what this is all about. And Paul's been there for 40 years. Joel's got more knowledge and wisdom than I have because he knows he's studied so heavily on all this. I came across it by causing congressional investigations and getting thrown in prison. Come across all these super spooks. God, why you got me here? Why you got me here? Well, now I know why you had me there. It's for this purpose and this time. I'm just a mouthpiece out here. That's all I am. I try to bring you the best I can do. Someday, maybe soon, we'll just sit here and do one show on top secret technologies that our government has. Excuse me. That I've tried to spill out over the past few months in various shows. We'll just talk about that sometime. Like some of the stuff I talked about today that they've done already. That's changing the course of history and our planet. But Paul, Jeff, I want you two to do a closing remarks and one of you take us to prayer on this. Jeff, what do you say on this?
Yeah, I mean, you guys summed it up really well. We're in a tight situation, but we're not hopeless. We're not helpless. God gives us a future and a hope, not plans of calamity. So what looks like despair, you know, when the disciples were in the boat with Christ, the water was raging around them and the boat was being tossed, and we're trying to wake him up. Hey, don't you care? We're perishing. Don't you care? He's in the boat. You know, it's like, hey, tells the water to stop, tells it to calm. They look at each other in astonishment and say, who is this guy that even the waters obey him? So, well, I guess what I'm taking from this is a time of testing of the faith of his people. He's weaning out. Who's on in the boat? Who isn't? And I think what better way to do it than to expose what we're really in, which is a situation that's rather difficult, but not impossible. Like he says, with men it's impossible, with God it's not. So everything's possible with God. So I would say we got to draw close to him, that he might draw close to us. So yeah, I'm astonished that all that is going on in this world, that people can be oblivious to it and not see it. They can go turn on their TV and not realize they better redirect how they think. They better redirect where their energy and time go. And you better get right with God, because he is the answer and he will protect us. And I can't really add anything to what you guys said. You guys played it out there pretty well.
You know, we have to also look, and Paul, I want you to comment. We have to look at this vaccination thing, folks. This is very serious. If you go take that vaccination, you're cooked in 3 to 4 years. Your body totally eats itself up, your immune system. And you got the mark of the beast. So what I say to everybody is, I hope if you believe that God is real, don't take that shot. That's what I would say to you. But if you're a Satanist, you're George Bush, you're Joe Biden, you're Pamela Harris, or the Congress and Senate, everybody, please take the shot. I really want to see you take the shot. Paul, what's your conclusion on this?
Well, we've got some background noise, and I have to admit that my capacity, once I'm distracted, sometimes it's less than capable. But Stu, what you're saying is, we're trying to connect the dots ourselves, and by us trying to connect the dots ourselves, I think we include the listener in the process. And the good news about you is you are contactable, you are reachable, you are receptive to what the listener wants to know more about. I do think we should do a specific show on Through the Looking Glass. I think we ought to maybe do a greatest hits on if you were to give any grand jury testimony, what would it look like? What would it include? And I think if we did that, then we could possibly be more specific in our shows, because we would always have your ideal grand jury testimony up there at all times, so people can figure out, you know, easy resource to everything that's happened to you. And we just got to keep that as a main link on your website, and then we can continue to be more specific about what's going on. We are to the point where I think every listener, me, what do I want? What do I want to accomplish from this show, this rebroadcast? And it's real simple. It's occupy and resist. What does it mean to occupy and resist? Well, I don't want to be redundant, because I've already covered my Jesus message once, and maybe you can't hear it often enough, but point is we have two potential futures. We have a future, an eternal future, or we have a future in a place where none of us want to be. And we only are here for a short time. And none of us are ultimately going to get this alive. But some of us are going to be in the remnant. Some of us are going to be part of the 144,000. And some of us are, we're going to be around for Armageddon even. And so my best take right now is occupy and resist is something that you find in the scriptures, you find in fellowship and studying the word with family and friends and building networks or relationships where you count on others. I know a lot of people, I get that, and I don't have that solution for you right now, but I do pray that God puts us in contact with people that we need to be with as the next 30, 60, 90, 120, 6 months unravels.
No.
That's my take.
Okay, for one of you, take it to prayer. You mentioned the grand jury. I want to just read to you, folks, not the whole thing. It's on my website. In the United States District Court for the District of Colorado, Criminal Division Case Number 95Y107, filed February 27, 1995. U.S. District Judge Richard Mache was the judge who ordered him to allow me to appear before the grand jury and to hear me out. The U.S. Attorney, Henry Solano, refused to do it after Al Martin was in touch with him and the M&L Business Machines case was involved with him, which was a sting operation set up by Ross Perot. Now, I refiled this in Kansas City in July the 2nd, 2003, because Richard Mache said if the U.S. Attorney didn't do his job, I could appear before the standing order before the court or before the grand jury with my private attorney. Now, that never happened. Instead, right after I filed this, they tried to kill me. They anthraxed me. They anthraxed Al Martin because of it. We got anthraxed. I lost four teeth in the right side of my jaw from being anthraxed. Fell out. Doctor, the one that found Gulf War syndrome, was given a grant. He was the one that he was contacted when I find out by the doctors, and they reported to CDC when Al Martin got hit. I got hit, and a few others. It was the point. It makes your teeth fall out. One thing, which happened to me. And the second part was, I had to take doxycycline for 90 days. Then I found out, and they did it to me in a jail cell, like they did to Al Martin, by the way. I couldn't even talk the next day. They brought a tank in and stuffed it in, and I could hear it spraying into a cork cell I was in. They arrested me for being at a telephone at a gas station called a trespassing, calling my voicemail. Now, this was filed just before I got hit. Plaintiffs versus Stuart Webb, etc., behalf of the people of the United States of America, and behalf of them. Now, I'm supposed to be allowed to hear or appear, not filed in Kansas City, and they tried to kill me again. Car crashes. Here's it versus Carrie Sue Millman, my ex-witch, a.k.a. Carrie Webb, attempted murder of her infant daughter, R.E., mental disturbance warrant, case number 842107-MI, State of Texas versus Carrie Sue Webb Millman, for attempted murder of her infant daughter, Amanda Maria Webb, my daughter, at age 28 years of age, August 10, 1984, co-conspirator recipient of illegal monies from Leonard Millman, narcotic money launderer, Bush crime family. Leonard Millman, co-conspirator, Bush crime family, money launderer, kingpin, scamster, terrorist, the Denver connection, organized crime figure, conspired to murder plaintiff Stuart Webb, owned and controlled MDC Holdings, obstruction of justice, security frauds, loan reinsurance frauds, real estate loan frauds, conspired to cause economic plunder, which is the death penalty taking over the economy, conspired, manufactured illegal biological chemical agents, and sold to foreign enemies of the United States of America, a.k.a. Iraq, BNL Bank, Gulf War Syndrome, violations of the Barclay Co-Indenture Act, which is treason. Ruth Millman, co-conspirator, wife of partner to organized crime figure Leonard Melman, security frauds, loan reinsurance frauds, real estate loan frauds, obstruction of justice. George W. Bush, co-conspirator of murder, appointed president of the United States, not legally elected, acting as commander in chief of the armed forces of the United States, obstruction of justice, mass murder, involvement in aid and abet, enable and co-conspirator to allow massive financial fraud, misconduct with prior knowledge to allow injury to such investors at who had no knowledge of the events to transpire, obstruction of justice, aid and abet, enable to cause the deaths of federal agents, civilians, military, which is murder. George Herbert Walker Bush, co-conspirator, ex-CIA director, former U.S. president, co-conspirator to terrorist events known as 9-1-1, September 11, 2001. Co-conspirator to terrorist bombing of the Oklahoma City Federal Building, April the 19th, 1995. Obstruction of justice, conspired, manufactured, illegal, biological, chemical agents, and sold to foreign enemies of the United States of America, a.k.a. Iraqgate, BNL Bank, Gulf War Syndrome, violations of the Barclay Co-Indenture Act, treason. Neil Bush, co-conspirator, former director, Silverado Savings Loan, narcotics trafficking, security frauds, obstruction of justice. Jeb Bush, co-conspirator, governor of Florida, narcotics trafficking, obstruction of justice. Marvin Bush, co-conspirator to 911, September 11th, Houston Casualty Insurance Company. James Baker, co-conspirator terrorist, events known as 9-1-1, September 11, 2001, Houston Casualty Insurance Company. Carl Linder, co-conspirator, Bush crime family, money launderer, kingpin, scamster, the Ohio connection. Look at the Bush crime family flowchart on my site. Gail Norton, co-conspirator, U.S. Secretary of Interior, former Attorney General, Colorado, obstruction of justice, all the stuff I gave her. She ended up in the Brownstein law firm before she became the new U.S. Secretary of Interior. Philip D. Wynn, co-conspirator, convicted HUD figure, former Swiss ambassador, illegal presidential pardon by Bill Clinton, MDC director, obstruction of justice. MDC was the parent company of Silverado Savings, just as an example, and the ones that did the mortgage bank bailout fraud involving all the artificial mortgages through asset investors. It's on the front of my site. Co-conspirator Larry A. Mizell, co-conspirator, CEO of MDC Holdings, Inc., parent company of Silverado, Imperial Savings, security frauds, narcotics money laundering, narcotics trafficking, pension fund frauds. Norman Brownstein, co-conspirator, counsel to CIA Director George H.W. Bush, current Bush crime family attorney, former MDC director, obstruction of justice. Ollie North, co-conspirator, narcotics trafficking, Iran-Contra player, murderer. Murdered 39 people, and his hitman is a friend of mine. Hillary Clinton, co-conspirator, CIA counsel, U.S. Senator, New York, narcotics money laundered to M&L Business Machines Company, Denver, Colorado, obstruction of justice, blackmail of U.S. congressmen and senators. Murderer. William Jefferson Clinton, co-conspirator, CIA agent, former U.S. president, narcotics trafficking into the United States of America, Iran-Contra, obstruction of justice. Charles Keating, co-conspirator, CEO, Lincoln Savings, CIA operative, money laundered to MDC Holdings and BCCI. Federico Pena, by the way, folks, because of the M&L Business Machines and Ross Pro and a sting operation, this guy had to pay a $1.5 million fine and quit his job as Secretary of the Department of Energy after he'd been mayor of Denver, voted for the airport, took a bribe, $2.5 million. He is under indictment because of that. Melman paid an $80 million fine. Brownstein paid $10 million. Larry Mizell paid $10 million. And Federico Pena only had to pay $1.5 million fine. He got to keep $1 million bribe. That case was sealed under national security. I was invited to the grand jury, and some punk named FBI Holslaw that covered up Oklahoma City bombing and other things, was part of Division Number 5, told me they were going to put me back in jail as a federal prisoner if I attempted to enter that room with a subpoena in hand. The next day, I found out they killed the grand jury, sealed it under national security, and 250 federal agents, DEA agents, FBI agents, U.S. attorneys, congressmen, senators that had taken bribes from the Denver crowd of over. Now, this was a government of sting operation by Ross Perot after Reagan got shot. There was 250. I've never had to do it. They got to keep their between $1.5 and $2 million bribe each for doing this crime syndicate. They're the Strux type, and the others, their bank accounts need to be examined. Now, let me go further. Fred Blanco Pena, co-conspirator, former mayor of Denver, former secretary of transportation, resigned, resigned secretary of energy while under indictment, recipient of bribes to obstruct justice. Wellington Webb, co-conspirator, bond fraud, Denver International Airport, mayor, Denver, Colorado. Bond fraud on the airport. As an example, oh, we're going to open the airport. See, we're moving everything out there. And then they go and sell the bonds and get triple rated A's. They're going to open on time. And guess what? It was a year later. Bond fraud to sell more bonds because the airport ran a $20 billion problem instead of a $1.5 billion airport. Meyer Blinder, co-conspirator, CEO, Blinder Robinson, National Brokerage Group of Companies, an MDC subsidiary company. Remember Meyer Blinder, the penny stock, world's largest penny stock company, Jeff? Collapsed in 1990. Linda Thomas, co-conspirator, divorce judge, Dallas, Texas, obstruction of justice, recipients of bribes to obstruct justice and allow that witch doctor I was married to run off. She was ordered to undergo psychiatric evaluation by the state, and she filed for divorce. And they terminated my parental rights under a default judgment where they didn't even notify me after trying to kill my attorney and telling him they were going to kill his whole family. Oh, you didn't tell me you were married to a mob don, Stu. Why, he's got a gun in his fucking hand in his law office. I said, what are you talking about, Frank? You didn't tell me your ex-father-in-law was a mob don. He threatened my entire family. I said, what are you talking about, mob don? He says, you don't know? I didn't know shit, folks. I didn't have anything to do with that guy when I was married to his daughter. Brian Campbell, co-conspirator, divorce judge. Denver, Colorado. Ongoing obstruction of justice. Permanent restraining order against Stuart Webb and Amanda Malia Webb, also known as Amanda Millman, now of legal age. Permanent lifetime restraining order. Bullshit. Zeta L. Weinshank, co-conspirator, U.S. Judge Denver, obstruction of justice, recipient of bribes to obstruct justice. Edward Nottingham, co-conspirator, U.S. Judge, federal judge Denver, obstruction of justice. Sherman Feinsilver, co-conspirator, retired U.S. federal judge Denver, obstruction of justice, recipient of bribes to obstruct justice. He was the guy that locked me up. You fucker, I got you by the balls if I ever get to court. Henry Solano, co-conspirator, former U.S. Attorney Denver, obstruction of justice, co-conspirator to attempted murder. That was Al Martin and I getting anthrax. He wouldn't let us appear before the grand jury. Michael J. Norton, co-conspirator, former U.S. Attorney Denver, obstruction of justice, recipient of bribes to obstruct justice. It was paid through M&L Business, the sting operation. And he still went in and tried to get it back. You punch in M&L on my website and search box, it'll pop up and there's his name written against his fake account. Gregory Graff, co-conspirator, assistant U.S. Attorney Denver, obstruction of justice, brother of Robert Graff, MDC director, the guy that was prosecuting me illegally, that stood up before Judge Richard Mach and says, please don't dismiss this case with prejudice. Judge, the government has spent $750,000 trying this man. They dismiss it with prejudice. They can never bring the charge back up against. Terroristic death threats by Stu Webb against Leonard Millman. Go to my radio bar. Tell me if there's any terroristic death threats. That shrink said there was no evidence to send me to Shrinkland, where I met the 1,500 Iran-Contra players, and said nothing was the matter with me. The judge released me on a $50,000 signature bond on the spot. Then he turns around and screams at the prosecutor a month later when he stands up, Greg Graff, and says he spent $750,000 taxpayers' money. The judge slammed his gavel down and said, this case is dismissed with prejudice. And he says, you're to tell me that the government has wasted $750,000 prosecuting an innocent man, Stuart Webb. He says, Mr. Webb, I suggest you seek counsel to get remedy to what they have done illegally against you. And I apologize on behalf of the court and the government. Case dismissed with prejudice. Gregory C. Graff, co-conspirator, assistant U.S. attorney, Denver, obstruction of justice, Robert Graff, who's an MVC director, Silverado's parent company. Thomas O'Rourke, co-conspirator, assistant U.S. attorney, Denver, obstruction of justice. F. Joseph Mackey, co-conspirator, assistant U.S. attorney, Denver, obstruction of justice. Charles Sekeli, co-conspirator, assistant U.S. public defender, obstruction of justice, in my case, sending me to Springfield. Charles Sandage, co-conspirator, obstruction of justice. That's a former prosecutor of Independence, Missouri, who had me illegally arrested many, many times, of which all charges were dismissed with prejudice when they were trying to run me into the ground. Lee Reddy, co-conspirator, Inspector General, U.S. Department of Justice, the Public Integrity Section, Washington, D.C., obstruction of justice. See Al Martin's book and Stu Webb. Now, Lee Reddick was the one that covered up everything for Daddy Bush as the Inspector General, who did it with the, he's a Jew boy over out of Pennsylvania, Arlen Specter, who was the Judiciary Committee. They obstructed everything that ever popped up on the radar scope about the Bushes or the Clintons or the Millmans. Robert Pence, co-conspirator, former FBI, SAC, Denver, obstruction of justice, recipient of bribes to obstruct justice. James M. Lyons, co-conspirator, director, MDC Holdings, key player in Whitewater development frauds involving the Clintons. Alan Karsh, co-conspirator, Denver kingpin, Leonard Millman's brother-in-law, who controls a $50 billion illegal estate and who brings cocaine in from Mexico to the airport east of the Denver International Airport that they built just shortly. Why, as a matter of fact, before they got the airport completed, they built the other one to haul the drugs into. He brings it in there every Wednesday night, and he pays a customs agent $200 to $300 in cash to pass his load. Seafood, going to Pelican Beach Restaurant in Boulder, where they have a sub-basement underneath the basement where they take the coke out and sell it to the strip joints, and Larry Mizell in Denver. Ted L. Gunderson, ex-FBI, CIA, murderer, scamster, supplied Bin Laden with Stinger missiles, stole from U.S. military arsenals, China Lake, FBI, CIA, Iran-Contra player, perjury, obstruction of justice, currently stalking and committing criminal harassment of plaintiff and plaintiff's witnesses, perjured testimony to extort plaintiff, meaning me, Stuart Webb, perjured testimony to jail plaintiff Stuart Webb, charges later dismissed with prejudice after I prayed, and the prosecutor goes over to my public defender's office in Las Vegas and in tears and says to her, God damn it, my son was killed in a car wreck last night, and if I don't drop the phony charges against Stu Webb, I'm next. He dropped him. Go on, Gunderson. Scamster, fraudster, ongoing criminal activity, stalking of plaintiff and plaintiff's witnesses, Stuart Webb. Thomas Gall, this is the punk that put these charges against me for assault and battery that the prosecutor's son got killed over at Gunderson's house. Then they run around putting on the story, and stooges like Alex Jones and others putting on, he robbed me of all of my documents. Bullshit, I didn't rob anybody of anything. Thomas Gall, co-conspirator, convicted killer, Las Vegas, Nevada, mental case, sidekick, co-conspirator to CIA Ted Gunderson, obstruction of justice, extortion, perjury, testimony to extort plaintiff, perjured testimony to jail plaintiff Stuart Webb, charges later dismissed with prejudice. Anna Mae Newman. Now, this is a good name, folks. She was the one that was Clint Murchison's housemaid that witnessed Daddy Bush and all the killers of Kennedy show up the night before and the day after party, and we killed him. Anna Mae Newman, co-conspirator, former employee for CIA agent Clint Murchison, sidekick to CIA Ted Gunderson, perjured to obstruct justice. Tim White, co-conspirator, stalker for CIA Ted L. Gunderson. This guy's on FBI payroll in Denver. He's a mental case. Leonard Millman. Tim White, co-conspirator stalker for CIA Ted L. Gunderson, Leonard Milman, predicate felon cross-dresser, child porno collector, making death threats against plaintiff and plaintiff's witnesses, stole a weapon from me, folks. Stole a weapon from me. Brand new. Someone gave me. He stole it. And he started to an agent. Criminal harassment. Perjured testimony to obstruct justice. Acting as an informant to the FBI and the Denver police. Plotting to extort plaintiff. Criminal slander. Criminal defamation of character. Stalking of plaintiff and plaintiff's witnesses. Brendan Nigri. Co-conspirator, stalker for Ted L. Gunderson, CIA Ted L. Gunderson, making death threats, criminal harassment, criminal slander, criminal defamation of character, stalking of plaintiff and plaintiff's witnesses. Larry Lawson, co-conspirator, stalker for CIA Ted L. Gunderson, criminal harassment, criminal slander, criminal defamation of character, stalking of plaintiff and plaintiff's witnesses. Shirley Anderson, co-conspirator, stalker for CIA Ted L. Gunderson, criminal harassment, criminal slander, criminal defamation of character, stalking of plaintiff's witnesses. Doug Millar, co-conspirator, stalker for CIA Ted Gunderson, violation of copyright laws, criminal harassment, criminal slander, criminal defamation of character, stalking of plaintiffs and plaintiff's witnesses. Sherry Shiner, co-conspirator, stalker for CIA Ted Gunderson, criminal harassment, criminal slander, criminal defamation of character, stalking of plaintiff and plaintiff's witnesses. Charles Bruce Stewart, co-conspirator, stalker for CIA Ted Gunderson, criminal harassment, criminal slander, criminal defamation of character, stalking of plaintiff and plaintiff's witnesses. Ken Adachi, you ever heard this? Ken Adachi, what's his fake site? The guy's been dead. Look on the front of my site where it's the trolls. Ken Adachi, co-conspirator for CIA Ted Gunderson, criminal harassment, criminal slander, criminal defamation of character, stalking of plaintiff and plaintiff's witnesses. Dennis Bozak, the same thing. Ted Gunderson and Bozak, same thing. Rosalind Grable, same thing. Nate Dapier, same thing. Tom Fisher, same thing. Tied to Tim White. Lee Swint, same thing. All tied to Ted Gunderson in Division Number 5 of the FBI. Now, FBI Mark Holslaw, the one who told me I couldn't go in the grand jury room on M&L, co-conspirator, FBI, Division 5, Anti-Terrorist Division, obstruction of justice, stalking of plaintiff and plaintiff's witnesses with Tim White, Las Vegas Police Department, unnamed co-conspirators for fake arrest on me, Las Vegas District Attorney's Office, the same thing involving Gunderson. Las Vegas FBI, unnamed co-conspirators. Las Vegas U.S. Attorney's Office, Nevada Attorney General's Office, Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. I got a lot of crap on you. Additional yet unnamed defendants, 1 through 5,000 and co-conspirators, defendants. Now comes plaintiff. Petitioner's motion to reopen to the honorable judge of the said court. Now comes plaintiff Stuart Webb pro se and files this motion to respond and in support thereof would respectfully show the court the following. Motion to reopen provides that when it clearly appears to be necessary to do administration of justice, the court may permit additional evidence to be offered at any time, provided that in a jury case, no evidence on a controversial matter shall be received after the verdict of the jury. Read the rest of it yourself. Now, did I make my point on who I can fry? Who I can fry with what evidence? That got me nearly killed, folks, more than once. Paul, you have any statements you want to make, or are you still with me?
Yes, I am. And what I want to say first is thank you. And secondly, I am going to admit to being blown away again. And beyond thank you and being blown away again, I continue to connect more names, more dots, more events. And we live in a world full of monsters. And the monsters are sometimes human, sometimes partially human, sometimes hybrid. And what I would like to do now is we need to break this show up and set it up so that your testimony that you just read, that was very impressive, that was amazing, and my gratitude is significant. So we really have two shows here, and what you read, I think everyone that is moved by it like I am, when we break this show down and post it separately, I'm going to pass it along. That was impressive, astonishing stuff. And so,
look, they would say, "Oh, you perjured yourself." No, I never perjured myself at all. I can prove every one of those things plus more. And I'm going to put something in everybody's ears for a minute, Paul, because I think they need to hear it. We talked about robotoids today, robots. When I was locked up with a guy named Smith, he was a CIA company called Evergreen Airlines. They were being their C-130s, were being used for drug hauling. He was all part of it, but he had a contract to pay him by the U.S. Forest Administration, Forestry, to put out fires. So they had one or two tankers. All their other C-130s were hauling drugs. Now, he was one of the guys that got locked up because Daddy Bush was shutting everybody up. He had remember Iran-Contra, there were 50,000 people involved in Iran-Contra, the theft of America, drug America, and sell weapons to anybody that would buy them. There's several books written about this. The key thing was there was a group of Chinamen tied to the Clintons and the Bushes in what's called the LIPPO group, L-I-P-P-O group, Worthington Bank, Little Rock, Arkansas, a Patrick Fu, Chinese intelligence, running the show, setting up these foreign trusts out of China for Clintons, Daddy Bush, and Milman. Then they were passed to Clinton at the Rose Law Firm, who passed these trusts up to Norman Brownstein, who passed many of the trusts to the other five, six, they called them CIA Council when Daddy Bush was CIA director. Now, this Brownstein's an APEC director. What was interesting was that this Patrick Fu connection was bigger than what anybody thought. Part of it was the Lincoln bedroom sale, they called it, when Clintons were in the White House as the so-called president, first lesbo. Now, there was this constant thing with these couple Chinamen supposedly making contributions to the Clinton exchange for secrets. Ambrose Pritchard wrote a fabulous book about it, about the Clintons, and very, very accurate. I know him. When I was locked up with the guy who owned Evergreen Airlines, or the front for the CIA, and he was locked up, everybody was telling me secrets because I had all these press people. I had Jonathan Beatty with Time Magazine writing stories. I had Margie Sloan that was involved with Peter Bruton, and he was at the Houston Post, and I had two papers out of Washington, D.C. writing stuff. I had a lot of people. I had the Denver Post writing stuff. Steve Wilson, he wrote a book, Silverado. 8 out of 10 of those stories were the stories I gave him. Then John Rebchek was over at the Rocky Mountain News. Well, Milman and Bush bought up those newspapers because of all the noise going on, as an example. But I'm locked up with this guy that ran Evergreen Airlines. And everybody was telling me all their secrets because they needed access to press people. One of them, Rodney Stitch, wrote a book called Drugging America. He used to have the way, he's dead now. He wrote first Defrauding America, which my name and a whole bunch of spooks appear. Some of them from Springfield that I met, some from Denver I met while I was in jail. Now, he wrote that other book, My Name Was Never Mentioned. Those were all people that were in Springfield, Missouri with me, who made contact with him, and they're in that book. He made another half a dozen books from these people. So I have a pretty good idea of what's going on. Now, this China connection with Evergreen is very important to America. The guy told me that the Evergreen containers, they're these big containers that fit on a flatbed truck, They stack two or three of them on a couple of them on a railroad car, and you see them going down. They say evergreen on them. They're still in business. They're probably still hauling the drugs through those containers. But here's what Daddy Bush had done. He had sold this technology to Patrick Fong and the Chinaman back in the 1980s, early 80s, as Vice President of the United States. They took that technology that DuPont later made our robotoids out of in the late 90s, early 90s. But Daddy Bush sold the Chinaman this technology that was going to be developed by the United States, and he sold it to that Lippo group. This guy, Smith, told me they made robots. He said, "Stu, we parked containers all around America with 200,000 China robots in it. You can't kill them. The only way to kill it is to shoot it with an armor-piercing bullet to the head. Otherwise, you have a death machine constantly coming at you." I said, "What the fuck did they do this for, Smith?" He said, "Daddy Bush, one of these days, they're going to turn them loose on America." Take it for what it's worth. I've dealt with these kind of people. Is it true? I'm going to tell you, folks, I've been told they're along the border, a lot of them along the southern border. If you see an Evergreen airline container or Evergreen container, most likely it's a Daddy Bush CIA little operation out there in the cornfield someplace. Be leery, because when the day comes, I think some good bombs might blow some of those robotoids apart. Go ahead, Paul or Jim.
Bowser, I think we've got to wind this down for today, and then off the air, Stu and I can discuss how this should best be presented. We are thankful, grateful to every listener, everyone that has contributed to Stu and continues to contribute. A lot of us out here are in need, and we ask in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost that you watch over us and guide us, and by the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus, that you guide us in all of our endeavors in this minute, in the next hour, in the next day, and until eternity, and our reward. I ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Gentlemen, thank you, Paul. Thank you, Jeff.
You bet.
Have a great one, both of you. Thank you.
Yeah, guys, see you.